the Porsche behind me. I want to talk about all the books I don't read. Because I'm Ty Lopez, and I definitely don't read.
Are those commercials that were on YouTube for a long time?
Yeah, where he's like, welcome to my garage. And he has the fucking Porsche behind him. But he's like, look at all my books. Not the Porsche that I've definitely put into frame.
I hated those so much.
I know. I'm so glad I don't see him anymore.
Me too.
Welcome, everyone, to the Hecate's Doorway podcast.
Welcome.
I'm Brandon.
My name's Gabriel.
We are here to bring you some murder.
Some murder?
Murder.
Murder, murder who?
You.
Do it! I'm ready to die.
That's definitely the attitude we need to have going into this.
Yee.
Alright, so we're back on true crime.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. About time.
About time, yeah, until we go back next week and don't do more true crime.
We need to do more true crime.
We have a lot. I have a lot of things planned.
You have a lot of things.
A lot of things.
A lot of things, he says.
I do. And the thing I have for you today is the Texarkana Moonlight Murders.
Why does it call that?
Because all the murders took place at night. Outside. Except for one.
Why Texarkana?
Because it's called...
Is that what happened?
That's the place.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The Texarkana Moonlight Murders were a series of unsolved murders and attacks in and around the area of Texarkana in 1946. And Texarkana, for anyone who doesn't know, is literally a town that's right in the middle of Texas and Arkansas. That's why it's called Texarkana.
I was wondering about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a mix of Texas and Canada.
They're, like, on the complete opposite sides of the fucking continent.
You don't know. People get creative with their names.
Welcome to Tex Canada.
Welcome to Texada.
Sir, this is a Wendy's.
Ah, oh, that explains.
That explains all the fries. The perpetrator of these attacks was also given the name either the Phantom Killer... Or the Phantom Slayer.
Phantom Slayer?
Phantom Slayer. Those are actually pretty cool.
Sounds like a Slayer album.
Kind of does. And, of course, this person was never officially caught. So, we don't have who actually killed them. So, we can't go into their backstory with this.
You have no suspects?
We have suspects. There's one who is, like, the main suspect. And then there's, like, a couple mid-low-tier suspects.
Yeah.
Though, we'll get into it towards the end, because I think it's a little fishy. Just me, personally.
Okay.
And, you know, we'll see. I already told you this in the beginning, but the reason they're called the Moonlight Murders is because they're all done at night. They're all done at weekends, too.
Mm.
Taking place between February 22nd and March 3rd. The first three attacks were on lovers' lanes or on quiet stretches of road. And the fourth was an isolated farmhouse. His targets were all couples. First three were all late teens, early 20s. The last attack was like a middle-aged couple. That's another thing we'll kind of get into towards the end, because it gets a little fishy in some places.
Okay.
And these attacks gained some massive press coverage and caused widespread panic, kind of like the Son of Sam murders.
Oh, damn, okay.
Mm-hmm. This is one of those towns where, like, every true crime doc you see where they're like, in this town, no one locked their doors at night, is one of those. But everyone locked their doors, and fucking stores sold out of guns and ammo.
Damn.
Police were constantly patrolling the grounds. It got a little crazy. And investigations went straight from city all the way to a federal, like, real fast.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
It was no time.
There were doubts that all attacks were committed by one person. A lot of people think it was a combination of things. Mostly the last one. And though this had never been officially solved, officials had a prime suspect, Yul Sweeney.
Yul Sweeney?
Yul Sweeney.
Hmm. Interesting name, but okay.
Yul Sweeney was a career criminal and was the main suspect, mostly in part from statements given by his wife. But we'll go into that later. For now, let's go to where this all began with the first attack.
Alrighty then. The first attack was on February 22nd, sometime around 11:45 p.m. That, by the way, is my birthday, so yay.
Oh, shit, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, I swear it wasn't me. I wasn't even born back then. Wait, what year was this?
It was like 40-some, 46. You definitely weren't born back then. Yet.
I'm clear. Can't pin it this time, bitch.
Can't pin this one on me? I wasn't even sperm yet.
I wasn't even conceived. Sometime around 11:45 p.m., Jimmy Hollis, and his girlfriend Mary Jane Lurie were parked at a lover's lane after watching a movie when a man approached the driver. Remember the good old days?
Mm.
Instead of Netflix and chill, you had driving and bang.
I think drive-ins were already not a thing by the time we were like 8.
Yeah, they
were. I only went to a drive-in once in my whole life.
Yeah, I've never been to one either. I haven't been to one, I mean.
Yeah, it sounds kind of cool, honestly. It's probably one of those things that they're going to bring back at some point.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Actually, it would be cool.
Driving and bang.
Driving and bang. Car rocking in the middle of everything.
Then again, so is everyone else's car.
No one came here for the movie. We all just came here to fuck in public.
Yep. And get away with it. We all know it's true. It's all we did. He was wearing what looked like a white pillowcase. What the fuck? The KKK?
No, more like Jason in part 2. Sackhead Jason. I almost feel like this is where they took that from, because it looks almost exactly like that.
That's funny.
Yeah. It was Jason Voorhees.
Is that why Run DMC went back in time?
That's why Busta Rhymes went back. He kicked Michael's ass. Now it's time to go kick Jason's ass.
That's fucking funny. Poor Michael. You never saw it coming. He was wearing what looked like a white pillowcase or a sack over his head with holes cut out for the eyes. He shone a flashlight into the car. Hollis wasn't sure if it was some kind of prank. He told the man he had the wrong person. He responded, "I don't want to kill you, so do what I say." Both Hollis and Lurie were ordered out of the car. He told Hollis to remove his pants and struck him twice in the head with his pistol. So hard the sound of his skull fractured sounded like a gunshot. Damn, that's really hard.
He's using it wrong, though.
Yeah.
So someone needs to tell him that you fire it, you know. Did you know that that's not a blunt weapon?
It's not meant to be used like that. Even if you hit someone, there's no guarantee they're going to get knocked out.
I wonder why he told him to take his pants off. My theory is it's just so he can steal everything out of it, but it's just so weird.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't do anything to him other than hit him with his gun.
He doesn't rape him?
No, not him.
Damn. Oh, okay.
Just get out and drop pants.
Get up and drop your trousers.
Drop trowel, pal.
Lurie, believing he was attempting to rob them, grabbed Hollis's wallet to show their assailant they had no money. The man then struck her with a blunt object and ordered her to stand up and then to run. When she began in the direction of a ditch nearby, he told her to run up the road. She found an empty car in the road, and upon reaching the car, the man was right behind her. He asked her why she was running, and when she responded by telling him it's what you told me to do. He called her a liar before knocking her to the ground and sexually assaulting her with this gun. What the fuck?
Yeah, that's some weird shit. Run away. Why are you running?
That's gonna suck.
Yeah, and then just using his gun as a toy.
Silly man, that's not what the gun is used for.
He's used his gun wrong twice in this.
Eventually, she got away and ran half a mile to a nearby house, where she was able to call the police. Hollis survived the attack as well, and both were taken to the hospital. For some reason, the police believed they knew their attacker and was covering up for them. I said, thought they knew.
This is really weird. I don't know why, but for the longest time... And we'll touch on this more at the end too, but for the longest time the police believed that they were lying about who attacked them.
Yeah.
I don't know if they thought it was just her or both of them were lying, but they thought that they knew who it was and they were pretending that it was the Phantom Killer. I don't know why. I tried so hard to find out why they thought this, but there's nothing. I don't know.
That's weird.
The only thing I could possibly think of is the fact that they didn't he didn't kill either of them, but assuming this is like his first step into being a serial killer, like they always ramp up.
Oh yeah. So first kill is always the bloodiest.
So I don't know why.
That brings us to the second attack and the first double murder on March 24th. The morning both Richard L. Griffin and Polly Ann Morey were found dead in Griffin's car out in a lover's lane by a passerby. Griffin was found between the front seat on his knees with his head resting on his hands, and his pockets had been turned inside out. He had been shot twice, one shot in the back of the head. Marie was lying face down in the back seat. She had also been shot in the back of the head. There was evidence that both of them had been murdered outside the car and placed inside and posed after. Bloodstains on the ground and a .32 cartridge shell were found outside. Okay.
Yes, this guy's posing them.
Probably murdered them outside the car and then put them in there like life-size mannequins.
Yeah. They found like blood and shit all over.
Yeah.
So this is like some serial killer shit already. That was the first murder, the double murder. So, on April 14th, we have the next set of murder victims, Paul Martin and Betty Jo Booker. Around 1:30 a.m., Paul picked up Betty. I think it was from, she was in a band or something.
Yeah.
She had, like, a saxophone, and it was kind of hard to figure out exactly what it was, because these old ones are so hard to get the facts right on, I feel like, sometimes.
Yeah.
But this isn't that important. She was just picked up from a concert hall, I believe, because she...
Yeah, okay.
I'm only clarifying on that a little bit because, for some reason, this plays in a little bit towards the end when we talk about the suspects, even though it's really stupid. At 6:30 the same morning, Martin's body was found. He'd been shot 4 times in his right hand, in the back, going through his ribs, and one shot through his nose.
Ow.
Yeah, and one in the back of the neck. A search party went out looking for Booker, and at 11:30 they found her. She was about 2 miles away from Martin's body, behind a tree. She was fully clothed, laying on her back, and her hand had been placed in the pocket of her overcoat. She had been shot twice, one in the chest and one in the face. The murder weapon was determined to be the same .32 caliber automatic Colt pistol that was used in the first double murder. Martin's car was found about 3 miles away from Booker's body, parked at Spring Lake Park with the keys still in the ignition. And that seems to be a regular thing, too, is that this person, whoever does the killing, robs them and then steals their car for a short distance.
Yeah.
Which plays in a little bit to the suspects as well. And okay. Yeah. So now we're on the final attack.
The final countdown.
Da-na-na-na. Yes. Yeah, that's appropriate. The final attack was at a farmhouse about 10 miles northeast of Texarkana. Virgil Starks was shot twice in the back of the head through a closed window in the house as he was sitting in his chair. His wife Katie came into the room and watched as Virgil tried to stand up, only to fall back down onto his chair and die. She ran to the phone on the wall to call police, only to be shot twice in the face from the same window. But that didn't put her down.
Oh, damn.
She regained her footing and attempted to get a pistol from another room, but was blinded by her own blood.
Ooh.
When she heard the attacker at the back of her home, she instead found the front door and fled. She ran across the street to her sister's home, but when no one was there, she again fled to another neighbor's home, A.V. Prater. The Prater family, along with the neighbor, took Katie to the hospital after she collapsed at Prater's doorway. Authorities would later conclude that this attack was not linked to the two double murders, and there are good reasons to suspect as much, but it still gets wrapped up in the whole thing because no one knows for sure.
Interesting, but okay.
The murder weapon was different. It was a .22 instead of a .32, as well as this being the only attack taking place at the victim's home, as well as the victims being significantly older. It's also worth pointing out the way the first attack was handled by police. Now, we already brought this up a little bit. Investigators, for some reason, firmly believe Lorraine knew who attacked her and was making up the story of the Phantom Killer.
That's
Why? I still don't get why they would think that.
I don't know. They thought that she knew who it was and she was covering it up.
I wonder why. Did she say something?
No, not that I could find. But later, much later, after all of this happened, the Texarkana Gazette on May 11th did an interview with Lorraine. Ooh. And after that, the police changed their tone and put this in the same as the double murders.
Of course they did.
Yeah. I don't know. I tried to find out if there was anything that would make them think this. I don't know.
Okay.
It was really, really stupid. Probably shitty police work.
Yeah. That sucks.
All right. So now, unfortunately, that's mostly it.
Okay.
But now we're going to get into the suspects.
Suspects.
Suspect. Everyone's a suspect. Just looking kidding. Pretty, there's only like one.
Sussy boy.
Getting a little sussy.
Little sussy bucka.
Suspect one, as we mentioned at the beginning of this, was Yul Sweeney.
Who is Yul Sweeney?
Yul Sweeney was a career car thief. And from everything I could find, this seems to be the biggest tie. There's two things that make him the main suspect. There's the car thief, because the killer, except for those last two, stole their cars. But his wife was also arrested. I couldn't quite figure out what she was arrested for. But after she was arrested, she gave a statement saying that Sweeney was the phantom killer. And she supposedly pointed them out to items that other victims had that were disposed of in other areas that weren't released to the public.
Yeah.
So, supposedly. But later, she would recant her confession. And then the other weird part in this is, when I looked more into this, Sweeney was arrested. He was arrested for being a car thief. Like, they put him away because he just kept stealing cars. There was, like, some weird term that doesn't exist anymore.
Hmm.
And some places were saying that this was his version of a plea deal to get put away for this instead of the murder so he wouldn't get the death sentence. That sounds really weird.
Yeah.
It sounds really weird.
Okay.
Yeah. They arrested him, too, because he was stealing cars and they found him stealing cars.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, the biggest reason I don't believe him as a suspect is it just doesn't make any sense that he would steal cars as himself, but then go put on his mask and steal cars as the Phantom. Like, if he's going to steal cars without the mask, why is he putting the mask on just to go shoot people and then steal their cars?
Damn.
It's weird. It doesn't make any sense. I don't think he did it. All right. Unfortunately, that is the only legit suspect, though. The only other one who was, like, even considered a suspect for a little bit was H.B. Duty Tennyson.
How does he sign?
Duty.
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 That's a weird nickname. He was suspected for a little bit because he committed suicide on November 4th, 1984.
Shit.
And in his, he left a little cryptic message, which I guess one saw, like, some kind of weird zodiac shit where they figured it out. And then they found his suicide note. And in his suicide note, he admitted to the two double murders.
Yeah.
But not just the two double murders, but also Virgil Starks, the older guy who he shot through his window.
Oh, yeah.
But there was no evidence to link him to that, and I think he had an alibi for at least one of them. So
there's a good chance he just did that just because he was...
Some mental health shit that even in the 80s, no one knew what the fuck mental health was.
True.
And then, so that's the only, like, two big suspects, but the other suspects were, and the reason I brought up the tuba is I don't know if he was a tuba salesman or if he was like a pawn shop owner, but this guy was suspected for a little bit because people thought the tuba he had in his store was the tuba of Booker. They thought he was selling her tuba.
He stole it.
But he didn't, though. They actually found it later.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So he's clear.
He's cleared. And then there was an idea that it was a defected German Nazi soldier.
The fuck?
This is after World War, like right after World War II.
Yeah. But like, why?
I don't know. Probably because it was after World War II. Everyone's like, it might have been one of them Nazis.
You never know. They might have crossed the ocean.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's just the theory that it was just a drifter.
Yeah.
Came in, did his shit, and then left on the train.
Probably.
Probably. Honestly,
I never know.
And then there's the really stupid theory that it was the Zodiac Killer.
Oh, it's the Zodiac Killer.
Which is really fucking stupid, and I don't believe it for a second.
Was it in Chicago?
Yeah, it was in Chicago. This was Texarkana, so quite a distance.
Far.
And it doesn't make a lot of sense to do this and then go, I don't know, maybe like, well, I know it was like 50, but was it 50 or was it like 56 or something like that? But 5 to 10 years later, start up a whole new thing. Doesn't check out. Oh, Jesus. Doesn't check out. Yeah, but that concludes the Texarkana murders.
Good job.
Yeah.
Good job on the research.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I didn't find as much as I wanted to on this.
Yeah.
Because this was a very niche one, I feel like.
Understandable.
Yeah.
I haven't heard too much of this one either, if anything.
A fun fact about this one, though, is there's a movie called The Town That Dreaded Sundown.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Which was made about this, which is basically like in the Scream movies, how they have the Stab movies.
Yeah.
And every year on Halloween, Texarkana plays it.
Damn, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, like, they play the fucking Stab movies and everyone goes and like, yeah, that happened. Sick, remember when he murdered her?
I was there. I was like, wait, what?
I was there. No, I wasn't.
He's like, police.
Police.
We got him.
We finally got him.
Damn.
This old man Jameson.
But not being resolved after all these years.
I mean, I think the biggest reasons, like, all of these old ones always go unsolved is there's literally no forensics. Yeah, like, forensics doesn't exist.
Like, they had fingerprints, they had hair, maybe DNA, they didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah, they probably definitely have fingerprints. I don't think he wore gloves.
True.
And they found casings of the bullets, which would have his fingerprints on them. His fingerprints and things would be on the victims. You know, shit like that.
True.
But they didn't have forensics. So they couldn't tie it to anyone.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Yeah, that was a shorter one, but...
For now.
Next week, we're going to do another little cryptid episode. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
And then...
Are we going to do the Black Dahlia, or is that later?
That's later. That one's going to be a deep dive. I want to really get into that one, so we have to do a shitload of research.
All right, sounds good.
After the cryptid, though, we're going to do the torso murders.
Oh, yeah, that's a really fucked up
one. That one's fucked. So we're going to do a little fun episode in between.
We need some filler just to... Everyone could be a little softened up, and then bang him. Wait, don't bang him.
Right, yeah, no.
Don't bang the listeners, man. Damn it.
I'm sorry, I can't help it. I have a sexual problem.
Keep it in your pants.
I'm not wearing pants.
I know you're not. I've talked about this about you.
It helps me loosen up, okay?
Loosen what? There ain't nothing there.
There will be.
Fuck you.
All right. So
that's enough joking.
All right, I think that's everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, man. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to all of our other stuff. If you have,
we appreciate it.
Appreciate every comment you leave. Criticizing of any kind is welcome. We appreciate it.
Yeah, sure we do.
I appreciate it. This man over here is a salty bitch.
No, I appreciate it. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Hecate_podcast.
Nice. Do you have a Facebook?
No.
No? Okay, no. Not Facebook.
Not yet. I might do it. I don't know. Facebook's kind of fucked.
Do you got a TikTok?
Not an official one. I'll make one at some point. Right. Yeah, I'll make one at some point just to post clips.
Yeah.
But if for some reason you want to contact us directly, if you want to ask us to cover things, or if you want to submit spooky stories, you could email us at hectiesdoorwaypod@gmail.com.
Oh, we got an email.
We got an email, oh, dude. Shit.
We official,
because not just anyone can have a fucking email.
Oh, shit.
That would actually be pretty cool, though, if, like, we could just cover random fucking spooky stories.
Yeah.
Once we get a big audience, you know, they can send us some shit, some listeners' stories.
Listeners' stories. So imagine there's a lot.
Oh, there probably is.
There's more than what we could probably find.
Just make sure they're written better than the creepypastas. Because those things are written terribly. And I want to do another one of those, too.
Oh, yeah.
That was so much fun.
We definitely should do another one.
Oh, yeah.
But later.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Later.
Probably after the Torso Murders.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Torso Murders is probably going to be in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I want to do that one after the Krypton one, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Well, thank you all for coming again.
Thank you.
It's been a good day. We're going to go watch the Batman.
Yeah.
Fucking good day.
Damn right it is.
Again, any comments, questions, concerns, finger gestures, or if you just want to tell
finger
us...
Finger gestures.
Hey, you never know. Just
email us a picture of you fucking flipping us off.
Or if you just want to tell us to fuck off or whatever.
Yeah.
You can tell do me that fuck too. Off.
I won't say anything back. Definitely not.
Alright, man. Alright, y'all. Goodbye. Listen, B.
Hail Satan.
Take care.